Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you are listening to Fat Guys at the Movies this week of October, whatever, first weekend in October. I can't remember exactly what
that
it was.
That was definitive, thanks.
But
just
this...
launch out there with confidence and stride and
well,
embarrass
I
yourself.
I have no idea what
it's like. You on a date. That's what it is.
Speaking of dates, we're going to talk about The Heartbreak Kid, which is Ben Stiller, and all of the very hot women that he does not want to commit to, which I don't understand.
Idiot.
We're also going to talk about another hot woman producing a movie, J-Lo. Usually when we combine her with movies, it's not so good. And we're going to talk about Michael Clayton, which has no hot women in it, and The Seeker, which also has
Michael Clayton has decidedly no hot women.
Both of those two.
And you know what? There's a lot of Tilda Swinton running around in her underwear in this movie, which is not a selling
point. I don't think I can appreciate.
And did you see me when we were watching? This is completely aside. I'm getting ahead of myself. Did you see me when she like stands up and she's all like bulgy in her slip?
Yeah.
Did you see me go like, and I had this reaction.
She will not make any of our top 10 lists. But also later on the show, we're going to do the first ever Fat Guys Sound Off segment, which is a new segment we're going to do for you. So I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. But before we get to all that, you can get a hold of us, fatguysatthemovies.com. You can also catch us on iTunes. Just go to the iTunes store and search Fat Guys at the Movies, and you will get our glorious mugs. And if you'd like to email us, which people do email us,
we do get emails,
fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. and of course, if you would like to give us a call, area code 614-388-8735. That's all I have.
When was the last time you checked that voicemail?
No, I checked it today. We didn't have anything new.
Call us. Somebody call us.
Yeah. Chicks.
Yeah, only hot chicks. It's all been guys that have called us, actually.
And it's like guys who are like doing the Ricola thing.
Yeah,
which is cool.
Which is awesome.
I mean, at least you're paying attention.
Yeah, somebody's listening to the show.
But we need some ladies to call and give us some love.
You don't even have to be hot. You just have a sexy voice.
Okay, cool.
That's my rule.
All right, well, speaking of sexy...
Ben Stiller, I know that's what you're thinking.
First one we're going to talk about has two sexy chicks in it. Yes. Malin Ackerman, who I'm a big fan of. And
what has she done aside from the Brother Solomon?
Well, she's going to be in Watchmen, but she's been in a bunch of other stuff. I'll look
who
it up.
Who's she going to be in Watchmen?
I don't know.
One of the girls?
Yeah, one of the girls.
or the blue guy.
I tell you what, while you play the clip, I will look it up.
All right. I'll give a little bit. She's gorgeous, fun. She's a great person.
At some point, you're just going to have to close your eyes and jump.
I've only known her for 6 weeks.
You should be thanking God that a woman this fantastic would even consider you.
You may kiss the bride.
Can you believe it? I finally took the plunge. I got the next 3 weeks off. We're road tripping it down to Cabo.
You got a pretty good voice there.
You're going to be hearing a lot of it for the next 40 or 50 years.
Well, there you go. That was our clip. It's a lot of physical comedy, so you don't actually get to see it on the radio. That's the one thing they haven't yet improved in terms of technology. You can't see on the radio yet. They do have this thing called television.
Thank God for us, though.
Yeah.
Because I don't think anyone would listen anymore if they could see you.
And you.
I don't think that's true.
Yes.
I'm...
You and your nasty toe.
Ew. Oh, wow.
You wear thongs way too... flip-flops, not thongs. I don't know how many thongs you're wearing during the show.
Well, I'm generally not wearing a thong. But to answer your earlier question before we talk about The Heartbreak Kid, Malin Ackerman was in The Brother Solomon, and Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle, and The Skulls.
The Skulls.
Yes. And
the powerhouse movies of the last decade.
Oh, yeah. Huge. Okay. She's a big deal. But she's going to be in Watchmen, so that's pretty cool.
All right.
But let's talk about the movie for a second.
Just flat out, it's an R-rated comedy, and... there are some really funny lines, like every 15 minutes or so.
Generally delivered by Jerry Stiller.
Jerry Stiller, and you get to see Malin Ackerman's breast naked a couple times.
We're big fans.
Yeah, I mean, I'm huge, but it was not a good movie.
Yeah, I guess the problem, and I had a problem with this movie before we even went in, because they were billing it as, and literally the advertisement said, finally an R-rated comedy for adults, and I was like, wait a minute, we've had a bunch of those this year that
like
were
Porky's.
Really good. Well... that, but like, you know, you look at Knocked Up and Superbad, and I think those were R-rated comedies for adults. I don't,
yeah, Well, I mean, were they saying like 30-something adults or older adults? You know? So. Although I have to say, this is the thing, and I'll point this out. I said this to you after the movie because we saw it together.
Right.
You didn't buy me any popcorn, although I let him hold my hand. But
I don't want you to take up any more of the magical studio in the sky than is absolutely necessary.
There you go. But there's the only thing worse than seeing a movie that's really not that funny is seeing a movie and like there's audience members around you who really think it's funny. And haven't seen the trailer. So, like, all these clips that you've seen in the trailer, apparently people didn't know that it was happening. They hadn't seen the trailer before. And because they're like, oh! And it's not just laughing at funny things that were in the trailer.
They were projecting.
They were surprised when, like, when Ben Stiller gets sat at the kids' table and they say, mm-hmm. no, that's the single person's table, which is in, like, every version of the trailer around. Yeah. So.
Well, I guess, and I'll say the biggest problem I had with this movie is it's the Farrelly brothers, and I love There's Something About Mary, but the problem is it felt so forced. It felt like the Farrelly brothers are trying to be the Farrelly brothers.
Ultimately, ever since they did Something About Mary, they've tried to make Something
right.
About Mary
and
again.
You can't make that again. You got to give us something new. I thought it was funny in spurts, but it really, really felt forced.
It,
and
it really was just like one line here and there was really funny.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's going to make money.
It'll make money, but it's not going to have staying power.
But yeah, I'm gonna go with the kind of suck.
I'm going with the kind of suck on this one as well. And a rare moment, I think you and I have almost the exact same opinion of this movie.
And another one we'll unfortunately agree on is one that we don't have a clip of.
Because we didn't get to see it. They didn't screen
it. Thank God they didn't screen this one.
Draw your own conclusions on this one. Feel the Noise, which is about hip-hop. What's it called? Reggaeton or something like that. It's a mix of music down in Puerto Rico. That's nothing about it. The three words about this movie that should make you run screaming from the theaters is producer Jennifer Lopez.
Yes.
Period.
It is almost as bad as starring Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah. And of course the worst of everything would be produced by Jennifer Lopez and starring Jennifer Lopez
and written
and directed. Oh my Lord.
Oh geez.
But I'll tell you, I have no desire to see Feel the Noise. Yeah. I'm just going to say preemptive suck. It's in 1,000 theaters this weekend. It's going to bomb.
Yeah.
Lucky if it, I don't even think it's going to hit the top 10.
Who knows? But we'll see about some other movies when we come back from break. And we are back here on Fat Guys at the Movies. Another round of movie reviews.
I hit my microphone. I hope that didn't step on your great intro.
I haven't even got to my great intro
yet.
Okay,
get your great
intro. Anyways, first...
We got movies to review. Come on.
Yes, the first movie that we're going to talk about in this second part is, as I like to call it, what would happen if Michael Bay tried to direct a Harry Potter film? We are talking about The Seeker, The Dark is Rising. Here's a clip.
We've been watching you from the moment you came in. You stole something.
What?
Don't waste our time, Will.
How do you know my name?
You are the Seeker.
The chosen warrior to fight the dark.
Sorry, I'm not the one.
You have powers, Will. You can command fire.
Light! Awesome.
Move objects. Summon great strength.
Can I fly?
What?
You know, whoosh.
Now, you said Michael Bay trying to direct a Harry Potter film. What this did is it was... I think it was even beyond that because it's like somebody who saw a Michael Bay movie and is like, well, that's cool that they, like, moved the camera, but I'm going to, like, really move the camera.
Yeah, at one point...
And he dutched the angle a little bit, so I'm going to turn it upside down.
Yes.
It's like the cinematographer was on crack when he was making this movie. Which I'm sure it's interesting. It's really neat from a cinematography perspective, but it's also somewhat disjointed because they'll like show shoot like everything in this incredibly wide angle lens, and then suddenly do like just a long lens, and then do back to wide angle.
Right,
lens
and a lot of fast crane shots. And I guess the thing that we can appreciate about a movie like this is at least it was something different. At least it wasn't Aragon.
Yeah, well,
where it was like the same crap.
The biggest thing with Aragon was it was Star Wars, in a fantasy setting without a Wookiee.
Right. Well, it had a dragon that talked like Rachel Weisz.
Well, yeah, but that was that. The dragon was sort
and it had
of like
John Malkovich.
And John Malkovich, dude, just was John Malkovich.
Yeah, and at least the bad guy in this one, Christopher Eccleston, who played the bad guy in Gone in 60 Seconds as
Doctor
well.
Doctor Who. He was Doctor Who.
Yeah. Well, I get it.
Come on.
But at least he was British, and his character was British. Like at least it matched. Because in Aragon, John Malkovich.
He had no
British, and everybody else was British.
His accent was John Malkovich.
It was John Malkovich playing John Malkovich, and saying,
which is in every movie,
use the black magic.
Yeah, it's if John Malkovich could do like Hamlet, and he'd be like to be, and he would just say to be or not to be as John Malkovich.
Right,
I'm sure he has.
It's kind of like Walken.
Yeah,
Walken can't do like British. Yeah, or
it's just
Irish.
Walken.
It's just Walken.
There's a little land called Walken Land.
Yeah, so I mean, they might as well put Walken in this movie.
Yeah,
and it would have been awesome. Great.
Yeah. Well, the thing is with The Seeker, the first third of it was really I thought really good. I'm like, wow, I would have just completely guzzled this down as a 12-year-old.
Or
And then it gets to this point where the kid like starts blowing things up with his mind, which gets a little
weird. He was very
weird.
Hormonal. There's a scene where he gets very hormonal and starts shouting and starts blowing stuff up.
I wish I could
have done that if I didn't get to kiss a girl by the time I was 13 or whatever.
He was 14.
Or 14.
Loser. I kissed a girl in kindergarten.
Seriously.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. So I was making whoopee back then.
Okay, that's enough with
that. Is that appropriate for the radio? All right, excellent. Moving on.
Move on. Anyway, no, The Seeker was... It's a good movie for kids. I think like 12-year-olds are really going to love it. The story does sort of disintegrate and fall apart and doesn't make a whole lot of sense later on. It seemed to me that they had a lot of stuff from the book and it wasn't well adapted. It was like they just kind of crammed stuff in.
Which is basically the story for every adaptation that is under 3 hours long.
But even the Harry Potter movies, they drop stuff. But it was just like they tried to add too much to explain too much where they should sort of just run with it.
Yep.
So... I'm going to actually have to say kind of sucks just for myself on that one. What do you say, Neil?
I have to go kind of sucks. I can't give it a kind of rock. I don't want to agree with you.
That's three in a row.
But I have to kind of... I have a feeling we'll disagree on this next one.
All right, let's get to the next one. What are we going to say? This is Michael Clayton. It's opening limited release this week.
And wider next week.
Opening wider next week, but we're going to give a little tease on this one. Let's hear a clip.
You are the senior litigating partner of one of the largest, most respected law firms in the world. You are a legend.
I'm an accomplice.
You're a manic depressive.
I am Shiva, the god of death.
This is a $3 billion class action lawsuit. The architect of our defense has been arrested for running naked through a parking lot.
He's building a case against you, North.
Nobody's going to let him do that.
Let him? Who the hell's going to stop him?
Arthur.
No way.
They killed him, Michael.
This is, of course, George Clooney's big... Every year he seems to have an Oscar film that he's aiming for award season.
Well, he's Clooney.
Clooney.
He's got to have something.
Yeah.
I mean...
That just answers it.
Well, yeah,
Do you want to start with...
I guess... Here's my take on this movie. It's George Clooney. Like, that's it.
It should have been called George Clooney.
It should have just been called George Clooney.
George Clooney
plays Michael Clayton.
Michael Clayton.
The story centers around Michael Clayton. Everything... about the movie is about Michael Clayton. And then, you know, Tom Wilkinson plays this, like, crazy nut job lawyer who just freaks out while in the middle of this case. And Michael Clayton's got... He's, like, the cleanup guy. So it's kind of like this show where you mess it up and then I have to clean it up by being witty. So that's kind of like the movie. Only...
And, of course, my weapon for you is just to be silent because you crash and burn when I don't...
Only
I don't
we're less entertaining... We're more entertaining than this movie was. I guess it's kind of like...
Well, that's no idea in your review. Going. Okay, so what did you think of this film?
It's kind of like... And it's almost like every one of these Oscar bait movies that we've seen so far this year, it's just been like, meh, at the end of it.
I've been somewhat like underwhelmed by that.
Very underwhelming. I mean, we're going to talk about more that we've already seen like in coming weeks that are just like we expected them to be good and everybody else said they're good, but I just don't get it. Like this wasn't... It was good, but it wasn't great.
It's like everything's Flag of Our Fathers from last
right,
year.
Right. It was...
Where it was like, oh, it was a good... It had war scenes and it told the story and I understand it, but it just wasn't... It didn't grab me.
It was well done, well acted.
It was babble all over again.
But it was very talky. It was very dry.
Not enough
action. Not enough suspense.
And in fact, I mean, because you watch the trailer, and the trailer is intense.
Right.
It's
not an intense
movie. And
then
all the lines that are like these incredible lines in the trailer just sort of like just kind of flop out there.
And
you're like, that's...
And
not...
I almost want to say that it was the fault of editing in this movie because they told the story in a very... flashback, forward, backward.
Yeah, it just sort of, but
and
you
it kind of gave away.
You can
all
figure
the good
out
stuff.
Everything that's yeah. going on, and finally, when they get to the big climax, I'm just kind of like,
it had already happened.
Well, and it's something I've seen done a million times in movies, and it's sort of like I'm like, oh that was go. It. They're yeah. okay. There you go. Anyways, I kind of say kind of sucks.
I'm gonna say kind of rocks because Clooney was pretty hardcore.
You love,
but
Clooney.
It wasn't great. Anyways, moving along, on to break.
Flowers lonely, I burn out slowly like a cigarette. Would you kiss me?
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We are getting ready to do talk about a little bit of box office. We've got some BO here in this magical studio in the sky, thanks to Neil Miller.
Oh, I thought that was you. There you go. That's
we're so witty.
We entertain on ourselves fire so tonight.
And no Chris Kattan impressions this week.
Yes, we're trying to be topical today and very relevant.
At the request of Josh Ratty yes. from Strong Words.
So in order to stay topical, we're going to talk about last week's box office.
Feast of Love came in at big old number 12.
It did?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't even $1 scroll down that far.
$700,000 over the weekend.
Hey, you know what? It made $1 million. That's $1 million more than I have right now.
Well, yeah, so. But you also didn't put in $20 or $30 million to make the movie.
Okay, fair enough. But I
tell
I you
did,
what.
And I'm upset.
Okay.
I'm like, Morgan Freeman, Kevin you're Carr. Going down. You yeah. and Greg Kinnear.
That sucks.
With your lesbian sort of weird love comedy.
Can I talk about the
go ahead, knock yourself
other
out.
Stuff now? Okay.
I got to drink some.
The game plan came in number one, right under $23 million.
Surprise everybody. It did better than
everybody It did a lot better than everybody thought. The Kingdom did well, but I think people wanted it to do better. $17 million was what it did. Everybody was kind of expecting a little higher. And then Feast of Love was the only other new release. Resident Evil, the atrocious Good Luck Chuck, and 310 to Yuma rounding out the top five.
Oh, by the way, speaking of Good Luck Chuck, do check FilmSchoolRejects.com for
yes,
how you can get your Dane Cook
your,
ribbon.
Your Stop Dane Cook ribbon. I think we've almost got, with the exception of a few dissenters, yeah. Just about every member of the Central Ohio Film Critics Association has yeah. a ribbon.
I don't think I've given one to Mark Pfeiffer. From.
Did you give one to Frank?
No, I did not give
he
one.
He needs one.
I do need to
because he's
one
like the cool kid.
He'd wear it, too.
I know.
I don't think he likes Dane Cook all that much.
Well, I mean, he's a old
Kristen Dreyer Kramer is the biggest supporter of the whole yes. thing. And Colin Mack from U Weekly.
Yep. And me.
And you. I mean, well, no, you're not,
I have
you're
one.
A supporter.
It's on
not,
the official Film School Rejects
to
whiteboard.
Wear it.
No, it's on the official Film School Rejects whiteboard. That is wearing it for all of the rejects.
Okay, yeah.
Because I know we're all too poor to actually yeah. pay the dollar to have it.
Yeah,
shipped.
The way we're gonna do this, I'll put up my PayPal thing, and you guys send a dollar to cover the shipping and handling because you know it's gonna cost.
Kevin's like
because it's like 89 cents or whatever.
Uber
to mail
poor because as you can tell, we don't get paid for this.
I don't pay for anything. That's why I hooked up with you, Neil Miller, so you could pay for everything.
Yeah,
you're my sugar daddy.
Okay. I don't really have a joke for that.
Okay, I just said that for people to be uncomfortable.
But this week's box office, we got two big releases, two wide releases. We've been yearning for something over 2,000 theaters.
Well, just wait a couple weeks. There's like seven wide releases.
I know,
like October 19th and 26th.
Yeah. The Heartbreak Kid in 3,200 theaters, and The Seeker: The Dark Is Rising in 3,100 theaters. Both
which are now the biggest releases.
Yeah, the two biggest releases. Game Plan was only 3,100. I think the Heartbreak Kid's gonna rake in some.
The Heartbreak Kid. I think the Heartbreak Kid's gonna have 20 million or so. I don't think it's gonna be a big weekend for movies.
I don't think The Seeker can beat it. I think
I don't
be
know.
Like
I don't
the
think The Seeker. Seeker. Yeah, 15
range.
Million. It's gonna be like Aragon, where it does okay, but it's not gonna be huge. But I think The Heartbreak Kid's going to have a good initial run, but I think it's going to get bad word of mouth. And part of the reason I think it's going to get bad word of mouth is because they're billing it sort of as a romantic comedy.
And it's
sort of like Good Luck Chuck.
And it's dirty.
And it's not. And it is. It's very raunchy and deliberately raunchy at times when it doesn't need to be.
Right.
Whereas, like, I think all the stuff from Something About Mary
like
when
it was raunchy.
Like some
prosthetic Vaj.
What?
Prosthetic Vaj?
Yes.
Was that what that
well,
was?
Well, it wasn't. No, it was just the... It was prosthetic, whatever you call it, pubes. It wasn't the Vaj.
Whatever you call it.
Whatever
like
you
it.
Call it. Whatever
really
those
sure
people
that's...
in Argentina call it, I don't know. So, but
right.
no, anyways,
yeah.
I, yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of the dates that go see it, the girls are going to be turned off, especially by, I won't give anything away, but certain things that happen with the characters. I think let's just face it. A guy who's cheating on his wife on his honeymoon is not appealing to women. Just like,
right.
Good luck, Chuck. Dane Cook having sex with like every single woman that's hotter than most women watching the show is not appealing to women.
I agree.
So,
sweet.
That's my opinion. That's my sort of, you know, like, what? And Eddie Murphy's pork belly.
I agree with
explanation.
It's gonna be a bad weekend at the box office, but I think the Heartbreak Kid's gonna come out on top.
But you know what's gonna be the big bomb for the weekend?
Feast of Love.
Feel the Noise.
Feel the noise.
Feast of Love. You're gonna be lucky if that's still in theaters a week. Feel the Noise. Jennifer Lopez. You're gonna prove that not only can you not act and not sing,
but you cannot
produce a movie.
I like it.
Next, she'll direct something.
Yeah, excellent. So we're gonna go to a break. We've reached the halfway point of the show. In the second half, we've got some really cool stuff coming up for you. We're gonna do the first Fat Guys Sound Off, where we balance some topics on our collective head. I don't know if that
and
makes
an awesome
sense.
top 10 list.
And an awesome top 10 list.
Crazy bitches.
Crazy bitches. And we're back, and you're listening to Fat Guys the Movies. This is the part of the show where we do a top 10 list.
That was your intro?
Yes.
You were like, I want to do the intro to this one.
Well, you were busy chewing.
Whatever.
That's right.
Okay.
I said it in front of people, our listeners.
People. In front of people.
Anyway, so this is our famous top 10 list at this point. What are we calling this week?
This is 10 crazy bitches from movies.
That we would like to bang.
Well, yeah,
I think you could add that to any one of our lists.
Yeah, well, not all of them. Trust me, I mean, like, top 10 torture scenes we'd like to bang.
But anyway, so these are some of the craziest...
Evisceration, that gets me hot.
These are some of the craziest chicks, ladies, to be PC.
Suddenly, now you're going to get politically correct ladies.
In movies that are very hot as well.
Yes.
So we let them slap us around.
Yeah. Well, individually, and they may not be totally hot, but just their aggressiveness kind of makes them a little hot.
Okay. All right. So we're going to start with the one that inspired this list, Malin Ackerman as Lila in The Heartbreak Kid.
Which goes on to say, you know, Ben Stiller, when she's there going crazy on him, give it a shot, man.
She smacks the crap out of him in this movie.
I'd be like, all right, bring it on, baby.
Yeah. And she's very attractive, I will say. And you know.
Although she's not, I mean, I think they were trying to go the whole Cameron Diaz route with her.
Yeah, she's not Cameron Diaz.
She's not a very good actor, but she's got nice boobies.
Yeah, she does. Okay, fair enough. Moving on.
Number two, Helena Bonham Carter as Marla Singer from Fight Club and in general Tim Burton's life.
You could also be like from Harry Potter. She was crazy. Bellatrix is
strange. Yeah, but she's not like. She's not very hot in that one.
Right. She's more hot.
She's very hot in Fight Club. I mean,
and in real life.
She's not in real life. I don't think she's that great of a... You know, I mean, it's not like I'd watch... If I saw her in real life, I'd be like, you know, but she was pretty hot in Fight Club.
Yeah.
Best trivia I know from Fight Club, when she leans back and she says to him, gosh, I haven't been boinked like that since grade school or something like that. The reason that made it in the movie is because they threw in another line as the alternate take that they then edited in and sent to the MPAA. You know what that line was?
What?
She flops back. She goes, ah, I want to have your abortion.
Wow. That's even better. I don't know what's worse in the eyes of the MPAA at that point.
I know they're like, well, we'll take the whole having sex in grade school over abortions.
Over abortions, yeah. you might have had sex when you were 8 years old, but at least you didn't have an abortion. That's great.
These people are insane at the MPAA. Yes.
Moving on, next one.
Three.
This is yours.
You want me to do this one?
Yeah.
I'll do it. All right, Glenn Close as Alex Forrest in Fatal Attraction. Now, I know what you're thinking, Glenn Close, not exactly hot. But she was pretty smoking in Fatal Attraction, yeah. I mean, this isn't her from Hook or anything like that.
The three girls from Golden Girls were hot at one point.
Well, you know, I don't know about that because I have seen... the movie that features Rue McClanahan stripping in her younger years. And trust me, she's actually better looking than the Golden Girls.
All right. Well, I always thought that anyways. Yeah. But anyways, moving on. Number four, Ella Fisher as Gloria Cleary in Wedding Crashers.
You say that with such robust excitement. Yes. You're like, Ella Fisher again.
Her line while she's got Vince Vaughn on the toilet with the skin knee is great, where she's like, don't ever leave me. And he's like, I won't. She looks up and she's like, because I'll find you.
Yeah, she's awesome in that movie.
That would turn me on, oddly enough.
Absolutely. I'd be like, all right.
Yeah,
I'll never leave you.
This next one, I have no idea who this is. So
this is Louise Jameson. This isn't exactly from the movies, but I have to throw it in there for my Doctor Who peeps. Louise Jameson as Leela. She's one of Doctor Who's companion, who was a savage that he picked up from a planet, and she like would threaten to cut people's hearts out and be like crazy. And she was hot, and she always wore. She like for like the first two serials or so she was in, she wore this loincloth. They put her in because it was a kid show in Britain. And they put her in so the dads would watch it with the kids. And it worked.
Nice. Kind of like Hannah Montana.
Okay, I'll just let you fall flat with that one.
I got the next one.
Let's move on from Hannah
Famke
Montana.
Janssen as Xenia Onatopp in GoldenEye.
Yes. The fact that she almost crushed him to death.
The fact that her name's Onatopp.
Onatopp.
I love it.
Onatopp, Onabottom, I'll take her.
She was one crazy Russian bitch.
She was gorgeous, too. So. She was, like, totally hot. And then she's gotten a little old now, but wow.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
So number seven, this is yours too.
Number seven is Piper Perabo as Polly Oster in Lost and Delirious. I know you haven't seen this one,
but she
plays a crazy, sexually confused prep school girl.
And we love to see Ohio girls go crazy.
Yes, and
prep
she
school. She's from Ohio University.
She has lots of sex with lots of other girls in this movie.
I have to see this movie.
Then she goes absolutely nuts. I'll let you borrow it. I have it on DVD.
All right.
It's not that good of a movie, but
it's gonna have good scenes in it.
Yeah,
there's gonna be good parts to it at least. So. Number eight. I'm gonna throw this one out there. Winona Ryder as Veronica Sawyer from Heathers as the. Her and the Christian Slater character were out there faking suicides for teenagers that they didn't like at school. And it was the movie that made me fall in love with Winona Ryder before I saw Girl Interrupted, which made me fall out
and
of love.
And before she stole stuff from your house.
Well, yeah, whatever. But, I mean, yeah, I saw Girl Interrupted and the whole singing cotton, like, spirituals in the tub was just really bad scenes.
Okay.
But go back to 1989, see her in Heathers, and she rocks.
Nice.
And she's a little bit nutty.
All right, I'm down.
And I don't patronize bunny rabbits.
Excellent. And one of the next, one of the more famous ones is Sharon Stone as Catherine Trammell in Basic Instinct. Not Basic Instinct 2.
Yeah, not in Basic Instinct 2. She was not. She's dumb in Basic Instinct 2.
Right.
But you also have to remember. We forgot to say this is in alphabetical order. That's why Stone's at the bottom.
It's not one through.
It's not like the hottest to least hottest or anything, because we're just way too lazy to do that. We just wanted to do it,
right?
In alphabetical.
Because that would have taken us hours.
Yeah, we would be recording this like next week.
Yeah.
When Michael Clayton goes wide.
Speaking of going wide, Sharon Stone.
Sharon Stone. Yes.
Okay. Moving on. Last one's yours.
Uma Thurman as Jenny Johnson / G-Girl in My Super Ex-Girlfriend. Not a huge hit last year. I kind of liked it.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have been, although we didn't have fat guys at the time, I would have given it a kind of rocks. She was a superhero who goes crazy on Luke Wilson and like does stuff like wrecks his car and throws a shark in his apartment.
Yeah, that would be a tough situation to have a superhero
ex-girlfriend.
No, I haven't.
It's a funny movie,
I
actually.
I have it, and I haven't watched it.
Oh,
I have no idea why not.
Weirdo.
Anyways, honorable mention, this one, I don't even know if this counts, but Chris Tucker in The Fifth Element.
You want it on the list, and you definitely want to. Does this fall in the whole thing of women you want to bang?
No. Chris Tucker plays one crazy chick in The Fifth Element.
When I saw The Fifth Element, I was hoping to God he died in it, and he just kept sticking around.
Unfortunately,
he avoided death through the whole film. So
yeah,
Kevin.
Yeah, exactly.
Made me want to shoot myself in the head.
So, and the last honorable mention is
Allison Hannigan
from American Pie,
the flute girl from American Pie.
And it's really more for the scene where they finally do get it on, and she slaps the crap out of it.
Yeah, and she's like, "Say my names."
Yeah, exactly. So she was only crazy chick for, you know, a minute of the movie, but it was worth it.
It was worth it for there, too. So. And then she went a little. She did some weird stuff in the sequels as well.
Yeah. Cool. So when we come back, we're going to sound off for the first time ever. Or not. I don't know. We'll be back in a second. Fat Guys of the Movies. We are going to do something a little new today. We call it the Fat Guys Sound Off. And that's the sound effect for it, apparently. we're gonna just take some topics and go back and forth, fat guy on fat guy, mono mono.
That sounds disgusting.
There's no way to make that not inappropriate.
Yes. Please don't search that on the web.
Yes, but we will start with a little news blip. Vin Diesel and Paul Walker are both said to be back for the fourth Fast and the Furious. I've dubbed it Four Fast, Four Furious. Kevin, is this a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, it depends on how you look at it. You can look at it as a good thing for Fast and Furious fans because it's the original guys. It's a bad thing because do we need another one of these movies? But it's a good thing for their careers because they pretty much have nothing else.
I agree.
Do you have anything else to add?
No, not really.
All right. The next news item is there's a new Sweeney Todd trailer out. You can get it on filmschoolrejects.com.
Yep.
Are you excited or not so much?
I'm totally excited about Sweeney Todd. Comes out in Christmas. It is...
It's totally a Christmas movie.
To me, it is the return of Tim Burton and Johnny Depp. I didn't necessarily like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, but I did love Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah.
And I think this is back along Sleepy those Hollow. Lines.
I mean, they've done a bunch.
Well, yeah, I mean, but I would say this, from what the trailer looks like, very cool. Go see the trailer. I'm excited. You?
I'm excited. The trailer didn't grab me as much simply because they didn't do the Sweeney Todd theme song, which I was looking forward to.
I'm sure they'll do it, though.
Okay.
So, next on our list, McGee is rumored to be directing the next Terminator flick. How bad is this going to suck?
This is going to suck so bad that the world is going to implode and suck in on itself and turn inside out.
Yes. And it, to me, it's almost like McGee making a football movie. Oh, he did.
The football movie wasn't that bad. I will give him credit. It wasn't that bad.
Until it turned into Charlie's Angels at the end.
Well, yeah. No, but the fact that you're just going to give him a fantasy Terminator flick, this is going to be terrible. I don't care who they get to play the Terminator. They could get The Rock to play the Terminator. Who I think
they could get Arnold Schwarzenegger, and it would still suck.
It would. You know why? Because it's Mick G. He'd be like, "We're going to have a Ferrari come in and blow up in the middle of the air, and the Terminator is going to like eat it." Mick G is like low rent Michael Bay. All right, let's next to the move to the next one. Natalie Portman's nude scene in Hotel Chevalier. Is that how you pronounce it?
Chevalier.
Chevalier. I'm not French. I don't care.
Okay.
Lame or please, sir, may I have some more?
I'm going to say lame. I didn't get enough of Natalie Portman.
Well, let me tell you, it wasn't a nude scene. You saw her butt crack.
She looks like a teenage boy naked.
Yeah, with the hair, the short hair.
Yeah.
And you didn't see anything. It's like they say, oh, nude scene for Natalie Portman. And you see her, you sort of see her backside, and her elbows are covering her breasts the whole time. So, yeah,
very disappointing.
I mean, I'd have to say actually both. It's lame, and I would like to see more.
Nice. Moving along, more Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street flicks are in the works. This is both were announced separately. Do we even care at this point?
You know, I do because actually I thought that Freddy vs. Jason was pretty clever and funny.
But, I mean, even with all the horror remakes, I think Halloween kind of ended it for me. Rob Zombie's Halloween was like, all right, well, can we be done with this now?
No, there's a difference between doing a remake and doing just a crummy little sequel. I think there's less to expect. You're doing Friday the 13th Part 11, unless it's going to be Freddy vs. Jason 2.
Right.
Friday the 13th Part 11, no one's expecting anything great. No one's going to say you're trotting on the fine name of Friday the 13th. But if you're remaking Halloween and you make a piece of garbage like Rob Zombie did, then yeah, it's garbage. And Nightmare on Elm Street, you know, I've always liked Freddy Krueger. So, I mean, hey, I'd rather see him do this than torture porn.
Okay. I'll agree. Well, I'm not going to see any of it, so.
Because you're a big wimp.
Whatever. Moving on.
All right. Next news item. Brett Ratner is now being rumored to be directing the new Escape from New York instead of Len Wiseman. Who would you rather see on this one? Ratner or Wiseman? Neil Miller.
Wiseman, because that increases the chances that Kate Beckinsale will be in it in leather.
That's true. Although she was not in Live Free or Die Hard in leather.
All we get with Ratner is Zhang Ziyi every time.
You mean Yan Ziyi?
Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever her name is.
She.
But I will say, though, I think after seeing Live Free...
She wasn't in X-Men 3.
She was in Rush Hour.
Yeah, but she wasn't...
Well, X-Men 3 was kind of lame either way.
I liked X-Men 3.
Whatever. But I will say, after seeing Live Free or Die Hard, Wiseman can make an action flick.
As long as it's not about disco vampires.
I mean, okay. But I think that you got Gerard Butler at the head of this thing in the new Escape from New York.
Is he playing Snake?
He's already signed on.
Because that's what I was going to say. To me, it's not necessarily who is directing it. It's who's going to play Snake Plissken.
I think with Wiseman, it could be like the other one. It could be kind of gritty like the other one. Ratner will just cheese it up like he does everything else.
Well, this
everything that he does is cheesy. It's glossy. It doesn't work. I don't like it.
First of all, I don't know how well Gerard Butler after 300 is sort of like the flavor of the month now. So I don't know if he can pull off Snake Plissken.
I think if anybody out there can, that's not Kurt Russell.
Just bring back Kurt Russell? Kurt Russell can do it again.
I don't know.
See, that's the thing.
He's getting chubby.
Stuntman Mike. Mike was rocking.
Stuntman Mike was getting big. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Well, he drove a car. He didn't have to do push-ups.
That's true.
Anyways, but no, I think it's more about who's gonna the cast. But ultimately, I've never been a big loyalist to Escape from New York. I actually liked Escape from L.A. better because it was goofy and stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But To me, it's not like remaking Halloween. So at this point, I really don't care because I think Ratner and Wiseman are pretty much kind of the same director.
Oh, wow. I disagree. But anyways, moving on to next topic.
It's just because he's married to Kate Beckinsale.
He's my hero. Okay.
And your nemesis at the same time.
And my nemesis at the same time. Final topic of the show. New semi-pro teaser with Will Ferrell. Hit online. We just watched it. It includes Will Ferrell laying on a table completely naked with a basketball in front of his area. And he's talking about getting sweaty.
Rainforest sweaty.
What do you think?
I think what he said.
Yes. Has Will Ferrell finally run out of laughs? Have we finally seen the end of his brand of comedy? Or has he gone too far?
No, you know what? I actually have to say no, not because of the teaser, because the teaser was funny, but it does have sort of, you know, the same lumpy Will Ferrell naked body that you saw in every movie that he's ever done, including, something like Stranger Than Fiction. Right. But it has the phone number 1-800...
Tropics,
which is the...
If you call it, it's a real phone number.
It's really funny. The message on there is funnier than the trailer. So I would say the teaser makes me think he has run out of laughs, but when I call the number, I say no.
I will say this, because we got to go to a break. Will Ferrell will eventually run out of this. I'd like to see him get to more of those Stranger Than Fiction things. But okay, that's all I have to say. We're going to break. And we're wrapping you up here on Fat Guys of the Movies. Let's go back to our reviews and run them down.
First
up was...
We didn't like anything.
Yeah, we pretty much didn't like anything.
Except you sort of liked Michael Clayton.
Well, yeah. Heartbreak Kid, we both said, kind of sucks.
Kind of sucks. And the only reason we say kind of sucks is because it was...
funny.
It had funny lines. There are points where I laughed... But there was just these big desert valleys of nothingness.
And the nude torso of Malin Ackerman.
Yes. A lot more than just the torso.
Yes. Feel the Noise, we both preemptive.
Yeah, I'm not even going to try this one. To me, Feel the Noise is like crack. I'm not even going to try it. I know it's going to be bad for me.
But it's not really addictive, though, so you can't...
Yeah, I hope there's people coming out with the shakes going, I need to see another movie produced by Jennifer Lopez.
What was the other one? Seeker, The Dark is Rising.
I said kinda sucks. Did you say kinda sucks or kinda rocks?
I think I said kinda sucks. I can't remember.
Yeah, it's not as bad as Aragon, but it's no Harry Potter.
Right.
But if you're 12, you'll probably like it.
And we definitely disagreed on Michael Clayton.
Well, sort of disagree. We're just kind of on either side of the fence, but we're standing pretty close to each other.
Yeah. That. You said what? Kinda sucks?
Kinda sucks.
And I said kinda rocks. Because Clooney's the man. No matter what people say, it was a well done movie.
So if Clooney and Rosie O'Donnell made a movie together,
yes, that would rock.
That would rock.
Yes, instantly rock.
Even the sex scene.
And Len Wiseman can direct. It'll be great with Kate Beckinsale in leather. I don't know what you
and
would...
all the Botox in the world. Did you like Dane Cook? Oh my lord.
Oh.
Maybe if like Rosie O'Donnell sat on Dane Cook, that would be awesome.
oh my God, you killed Dane Cook.
Yay! And then like there'd be cheering in the streets.
It'd be like the last scene of the 40-year-old virgin.
There'd be a ticker tape parade, even though we don't have ticker tape anymore. There'd be a ticker tape parade for Rosie O'Donnell because she killed Dane Cook.
God,
Rosie O'Donnell, please kill Dane Cook.
Oh boy. All right. And next week we got all kinds of movies coming out. We got Elizabeth the Golden Age.
Like they need a sequel to Elizabeth because that was such a huge blockbuster.
We've got The Final Season. We've got Tyler Perry's Why Did I Get Married? And
where
got,
he's not in drag, I understand.
Yeah, and we've got We Own the Night, which should be an interesting conversation. And that about wraps it up for us here on Fat Guys the Movies.
That was a cryptic way to end the show.
Yes,
there,
if you would like to get in touch with us, hit us up online, fatguysthemovies.com.
Touch.
Hit us up on iTunes, the iTunes store. Just search Fat Guys the Movies. If you'd like to email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. And if you'd like to call us, 614-388-8735. You have any parting words?
No, just bye.
Adios.